This is the day that the Lord has made.
Stand in body or spirit and join me in a call to worship. With gratitude and love, we come to you today, Lord.
Let us sing your praises with joyous hearts.
In you is our refuge from the storm.
Let us shout with glee at your gracious mercy.
In you we trust, in your strength is our strength.
We give thanks to you, our Lord.
Our every weakness is also the God who redeems us. With confidence, let us confess the sins that separate us from God and one another. Ever gracious and loving God, you are our Redeemer and our hope always. We know we can turn to you with anything, but sometimes we take control and shun your ways. We can be overcome with the things of the world, with money and possessions, and we forget about serving you. We harm people to get what we want. We act against your will. Be with us, Lord, and forgive us for our wrongs. In your will and in your mercy, let us trust you always. Let us take a few minutes for silent reflection. Christ the Lord will never hold a grudge against us.
There is nothing we can do that will destroy God's love for God's children.
We know we can always come to the Lord to confess and be forgiven.
In mercy. mercy of God is our comfort from the sins of our humanity.
Be assured that the peace of Christ is with us always. Thanks be to God.
Be kind to one another and tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us offer each other a brief sign of peace. Welcome, everyone, to worship here at Faith Presbyterian Church. I'm glad you're all here. A few announcements. Are there any visitors here who would like to say hello? All right. There we are. Good to see you, Margaret.
Thank you.
Fellowship pads, please sign your name. Let us know you were here. And if your information has changed, let us know. Also, just so everyone is aware, we are in the 21st century here. And you can give online at www.faithpresb.org, if that's easier for you. I know a lot of us don't carry cash. The big event is coming up in a couple weeks, August 26th. So if you're willing and able to sign up in the Narthex, the topic this year is poverty. And Lillian White's memorial service will be on August 25th. And Lillian was a longtime member of the congregation, and so that will be on the 25th. We do need counters for after worship and data, someone to help with data entry for offerings. So if you're able and willing to serve in that capacity, please see me. And I think, are there any other? If I'm not aware, or I am aware, I was made aware that a couple of people have birthdays, either today or in the very near past. And I think one is Gwen Smith, who's a birthday girl and Being loud and proud about it, I like that. Whoa, smoky bear. All right. George?
Well, I'd like to introduce two good friends, Jeannie Newland and David Mossman. David is from Scotland, visiting here. And Jeannie and I have been a member of different organizations together. And David's not coming to church here today, so.
Welcome. And there's another person who's having a birthday, but they do not want it recognized, so. Could we sing happy birthday to all the celebrants, please? Happy And Mike and Pam's Winters' anniversary, 50 years of wedded bliss. And we're going to celebrate with them on August 20th, so bring your dancing shoes for that. There's a few opportunities to serve, if you're so inclined. Backpack program is still taking donations. Any other announcements? Heather.
We do need a Sunday school teacher to help once a month and on a rotating basis. And so anybody, parents, anybody interested in the children's ministry is welcome to attend to help plan for this next school year. Thank you.
And that's August 29th at 6 p.m. And there's an announcement in the bulletin about that. So please join us for helping out with Sunday school. Okay. Elder Richard Carter, would you please come forth with Jack?
Good morning. Would the boys and girls like to come down? While you're coming down, watch me and see if you can figure out what I'm doing. Miss Heather just said it. She needs Sunday school teachers on a rotating basis. And you brought your friend? How wonderful. Monkey Joe, right? Monkey John? Oh, Monkey Jaws. All right. So we've been, oh, look, your friends are here. Oh, he wants to see you. He's been missing you. He's been missing you. All right, welcome back. Okay, we've been talking about the Apostles' Creed. You remember what the last one was we did? Yeah, it's kind of hard. I'll give you a hint. It's on Easter. No, not Easter eggs. Easter resurrection, that big word. Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended the third day. He rose again from the dead. So, now, do you think he really rose from the dead?
Yes.
Yes. Actually, he did. And you know how we know that? He was around for like 30, 40 days after he rose from the dead, and a lot of people saw him. And Thomas even got to touch him. And they see him. He wasn't exactly the same Jesus that they knew before, because one time they were in a locked room, and he went in and didn't even open the door. Wow. So the part we're doing today is he ascended into heaven. So you remember that word ascended? We did the opposite of that word a while back.
Yeah.
Descended into hell, and because he loved all those people and set them free. And this time he ascended way up to heaven. Okay, so that's the story today. I think we can get that one, huh? So Jesus really, really, truly rose again from the dead. That's the most important thing you can learn in church. Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there's no reason for any of us to be here. But he rose from the dead. And we all have hope. We all have hope. Paul said, if he didn't rise from the dead, why are we doing any of this? But he did rise from the dead. And we don't see him walking around the street nowadays. Because he ascended into heaven.
Like, up to our space in a rocket ship?
Well, without a rocket ship. It says he went up and he disappeared into the clouds. And he just couldn't, the disciples couldn't see him anymore. All right, let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you that some of these are easier to understand than others. Thank you that we can understand ascended into heaven, even without a rocket ship. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, thanks for coming.
As we come to the reading of Scripture, please join me in the prayer for illumination. In your grace, Lord, guide our thoughts and minds closer to you and your word, and may its wisdom and truth be emblazoned on our hearts now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading is Ecclesiastes 5, 8 through 15. Listen to the word of God. If you see in a province the oppression of the poor and the violation of justice and right, do not be amazed at the matter, for the high official is watched by a higher, and there are yet higher ones over them. But all things considered, This is an advantage for a land, a king for a plowed field. The lover of money will not be satisfied with money, nor the lover of wealth with gain. This also is vanity. When goods increase, those who eat them increase. And what gain has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of laborers, whether they eat little or much. But the surfeit of the rich will not let them sleep. There is a grievous ill that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owners to their hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. Though they are parents of children, they have nothing in their hands. As they came from their mother's womb, so shall they go again, naked as they came. They shall take nothing for their toil, which they may carry away with their hands. Holy wisdom, holy word.
And our New Testament lesson today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Hear the word of the Lord. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Holy wisdom, holy word. So this is the second week of this little occasional sermon series on what does the Bible say about, and today, it's money! What is money? Doesn't have any feelings, it just is. It's neither good nor bad, it's neutral. It is a tool, a device for paying for goods and services and gifts. It does not have traits. Doesn't have a personality. I can't have a lively conversation with this $5 bill. We as human beings are the ones who do good or evil with money. We're the ones who attach a feeling to it and then an action to it. So, what does the Bible say about money? It says a heck of a lot. As I researched this sermon, I saw in several places that said that there are 2,000 verses in the Bible that deal with money, giving, tithing, greed, whatever you can think of associated with money. Now, I suspect that is more than most topics in the Bible. Even in ancient times, the writers of Scripture, through the inspiration of God, knew the dangers surrounding money and possessions and how we interact with it. Since there are so many passages that mention money, giving, and possessions, we are not going to go through all 2,000 this morning. I will highlight a few, though. One of my favorite stories in Scripture is the one about Jesus watching the woman who was poor, who only had a couple of coins to put into the treasury at the temple. Hear the word of God from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Now, in contrast to the spirit of the widow, there is the story of the rich young man. In Matthew 19, a pious, faithful, rich young man approaches Jesus, asks him what it takes to achieve eternal life. And after answering Jesus' questions about how well he obeyed the commandments, and he did, he obeyed them all, Jesus said, "If you wish to be perfect, sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come follow me." When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. I get where the guy's coming from. Giving up everything would be hard. I can't judge that guy. Could I have done it? Could you have done it? These two stories show a couple of different things. One shows great generosity and great sacrifice. The widow who gives the last of her money to the temple, she gives it all. She gives everything she has. And then the young man shows the power that money can have over us. His wealth holds so much sway over him, even the prospect of eternal life, from the great teacher and miracle worker, Jesus, can't get him to give up his wealth. Now, what I want to instill in us today is an awareness of what our relationship is with money, and striving toward having a healthy relationship with money. Now, doing that starts with taking stock of what is my attitude about money. Am I a little or a lot on the greedy side? Do I hoard my money and deprive my family of things that they may need? Am I a miser? Do I keep so much money for myself that I don't give any of my treasure away? Or am I a free spending spirit who spends money on things that maybe I don't need and then some? Am I impractical or reckless with it? Does fear of losing my money, and it doesn't matter how much you have or don't have, does make me reluctant to be generous with what I do have? We can get off balance in our attitudes about money. Over the years, I've heard people misquote the famous verse from Scripture that money is the root of all evil. Well, money itself isn't evil. It doesn't have a brain or a soul. It cannot do mean things or good things. It just is. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. The love of money, that is where the problem is. And that theme is reiterated in our Old Testament lesson from earlier this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. The lover of money will not be satisfied with money, nor the lover of wealth with gain. The bottom line is, if we love money so much, no matter how much we get, it's never going to be enough. If we look for money for security and safety in life, and we don't look for that in God, well, no amount of money is ever going to be enough. Because our minds, through our fears, will conjure up scenarios where our money is in danger. We're going to lose it. We're going to get sick. We're going to get this. We're going to get that. We're going to get swindled. Fear. And then we'll just want more. Got to have more to get more security. Jesus wants us to come to Him for safety and comfort, not to money. He can provide that real comfort and caring. If we have some wealth, we can use our treasure as an act of worship to God. Part of discipleship is being a good steward of our money and giving to the church, the body of Christ. I like the idea of giving being an act of worship to God. For everything flows from God. All we have flows from God. Giving to the church is an act of praise and caring. Through your offerings in the church, you give to local organizations that are involved in the community. And those organizations relieve pain and suffering, like Peach's Pantry or Warrior Healing Center, the backpack program that's going to give some comfort to some of our homeless citizens here in Sierra Vista. Your giving to the church makes a difference in your community. And maybe I, as a pastor, or others in the church don't communicate that well enough to you. I know it will make a difference in Douglas, where this congregation stepped up mightily with donations for over $10,000 for First Presbyterian, whose house of worship was burned. You are a generous congregation. We show what we value with what we spend our money on, don't we? What are your values? One way to find that out is to ask yourself, what do you spend your money on? That can be an indication of what you value. Now, I know not all of us can give as much as we would like to. But the good news is, discipleship is giving of our time too. And many of you do that very well. And I'm not here to say I'm against money. Please don't hear that from anything I say this morning from the pulpit. And I'm not asking anyone to be like Jesus did with the rich young man. We all need to give all our, it's not like we don't all need to give all of our money away to the church. That would be irresponsible. And I'm human. I like to have extra money too. I like to go on trips and visit people. I like to go to sporting events. I like to read. I like to watch sports. And those things don't come for free. And I can tell you, if you've gone to a professional sports game recently, it sure isn't free, that's for sure. And we all want financial security. We all want to retire comfortably and leave some money behind for our children or grandchildren and, I hope, the church. Money should be our servant, not our ruler. What I want us all to have is a healthy relationship and attitude about money. How do we get that proper relationship? We pray to God to have the right relationship with it. We pray for the willingness to be honest about our relationship with money so we don't delude ourselves about it. We talk about it with our pastor or a trusted friend or advisor. We consult someone to give us an honest appraisal of what we're doing with our money. But I'd say the most important thing is praying to God for wisdom and insight on how we spend our money. Lord, am I using my treasure in a way that glorifies you? Am I using it to lift up my family? Am I using it to lift up the people around me? Am I using my money as an act of worship to you, the giver of all I have in this life? Money's a tool, and it's a tool that can be used for good. Let us pray to be a little more like the poor widow who gives of her last two coins. Let us have that spirit in our giving. Indeed, as our New Testament lesson says, we cannot serve both God and wealth. Is money our God? Or is our God the triune God that we confess? What is our answer? Ultimately, our greatest treasure is to meet the Lord, to be in the presence of God after we leave this existence here on earth. But until then, let us examine how we are using our treasure on earth and how we can put it to work in the name of the Lord. Amen. And now, please join me in reciting our Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth,
and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven
and sits on the right hand
of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. One announcement I did forget to make was those who are helping with communion next Sunday, we're going to have a brief practice after worship this morning because we are going to be doing communion by intinction next Sunday. So if anyone needs a refresher and you aren't giving serving communion next week, stay and we'll give a little refresher for you, for everybody. Let us pray. Dear God, we come to you today with our prayers of jubilation, joy, and our concerns and our worries, things that weigh on our minds. Please, Lord, be with us as we lift our prayers up to you. Are there any joys or concerns from those in the congregation? George Wheat has the magic microphone, so if you could just be patient.
I'm talking on behalf of my sister Jill. She will be leaving for a skilled nursing facility in Phoenix area sometime this coming week. She thanks you so much for all her prayers, your prayers and concerns, and to Pastor Brian, who's been with her through this ordeal since her husband passed away. So thank you from our family, and let's keep her in our prayers for a little while more.
Thanks, Sandy.
Prayers for Michael's family as they still continue to grieve with the loss of their father or mother. Also, thank you for all the prayers and expressions of sympathy that we received while we were gone.
Let us remember the people in Hawaii and Maui. Those who have lost their lives. The last I heard, body count was up over 80, closer to 90, I believe. Damage is just unfathomable. It's just about wiped out the whole city, which I can't imagine even. But let's keep those in our prayers, those who have lost loved ones, those who have lost their lives, lost their belongings. Their whole history has been burned up. And it's just totally devastating.
Prayers for my dad. He just had some surgery done, and I pray that for fast healing for him. His name's Dan Mitchell.
What is his name?
Dan.
Prayers for my son. Had surgery, and he has a life vest on for his heart, and I would appreciate it, the prayers. Thank you.
What's your son's name, Gwen?
Russell.
Russell. Let us pray. Hear our prayers, Lord, as we lift them up to you in your gracious good. We pray for Jill Witt, and we thank you for helping her recover as much as she has, and we pray that she continues to recover from her ailments and comfort her in her grief from the loss of her husband. And we pray for her as she embarks on a new adventure up in the Phoenix area to be near her daughter. We pray for Mike Winters' family as they grieve the loss of their mother. Help comfort them in this time of sadness. We pray for all of the people in Hawaii who have been affected by the horrific fire there. Lord, help us all to continue to pray for them, and may their beautiful city recover and shine forth again. We pray for healing in our country. Lord, we pray that the united part in United States of America comes back and civility comes back. We pray for Randy's dad, Dan. May he recover from his surgery and heal him. We pray for Gwen's son, Russell, that he may be healed of all that is ailing him and that he may recover 100%. I also want to lift up a prayer of joy and jubilation on behalf of George Van Otten. His demise was grossly exaggerated. I know there was some talk of him and his cancer coming back that has been rolling around the congregation. That is not true, actually, and he went to the doctor recently and found out he's still cancer-free, so, and he can sure sing, too, so I lift up prayers of joy on behalf of George, so praise God for that. Lord, hear our prayers. Help us to be better stewards of you, of your world, and of each other, to help each other, to be with each other. And now, with boldness, we can pray the words our Savior gave us, our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
With what shall we come before the Lord? With a flock of rams? With a river of oil for anointing? No, we bring only ourselves and our gifts, freely offered and lovingly given. Let us bring our gifts to God.
There will be peace in the valley.
pray with me. Gracious God, thank you for the gifts you bestow upon us each and every day. Help us to be more aware of your many gifts and guide our lives in such ways that we and our gifts may be gifts to others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
And now, friends, let us go from here to love and serve the Lord, to give of ourselves, our treasure and our time and our spirits in prayer. And may the peace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen.